It is no secret that Hillary Clinton and I disagree on a number of issues. That is what this campaign has been about. That is what democracy is about. But I'm happy to tell you that at the Democratic Platform Committee, there was a significant coming together between the two campaigns, and we produced by far the most progressive platform in the history of the Democratic Party.
And we are here, and you are too, and it's the Vox Pop, and we have lots of things we want to talk about. The Democratic National Convention happening in Philadelphia is on our minds, the headlines. This week started off some major news with the resignation of DNC Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz amid evidence that the committee was actively looking for ways to quash Bernie Sanders' campaign. Yet Bernie Sanders addressed the convention last night, as you just heard, reinforcing his call for party unity to defeat Republican nominee Donald Trump in November. This is a history-making election. It could change everything forever in this country. And we wanted to know what you think. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Phones are already beginning to ring. Love to hear from you. Well, why don't we start with Andrew, who had the patience of a saint, as he called in early. Andrew, you're on.
Thank you. First of all, Alan, I really thank you for interviewing Jill Stein, who is the, I guess, the third presidential candidate that few people are hearing about.
Actually, there are four.
You got her on the air.
Yeah, there are four.
Because you get, well, you, at any rate, yeah. This is to Bernie Sanders supporters who are disappointed at the way things are turning, including in Bernie himself, for endorsing Hillary. There is something else you can do, and that is get behind the Green Party candidacy. Get behind Jill Stein for president. I think she is much more believable in promoting progressive causes than Hillary Clinton or the Democratic Platform Committee will be. I mean, they say the right things, this committee and Hillary, but will they actually carry them out?
Okay, wait. Okay, let me ask you a question. What, Andrew, if your vote, you know, goes to elect Donald Trump as when you vote for Jill Stein?
Well, I am ready to take that chance. First of all, I think in spite of protestations to the contrary, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of difference between a Hillary Clinton presidency and a Donald Trump presidency. In fact, I think if anything, Hillary is going to be more aggressive in foreign policy and use of military than Donald Trump would be. It's a very mixed bag. I don't buy this. We got to defeat Trump at all costs. Furthermore, this country really needs to know that there are more parties around than the two we've had for so long. I think that's very important.
Okay, Andrew, I want to stop you there, tell you a lot of people behind you. I thank you for your call. I thank you for your compliment about Jill Stein. She was a very good interview, as a matter of fact, and I appreciate it very much. Okay, thanks. Okay, so that takes care of that line. And now we're going to go to George. All right, George, you're on.
Yes. Alan Shartok?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm calling from East Clarendon, Vermont. And could you tell me the name of the last name of Debbie Cruz? What's her last name, the DNC chairman who resigned?
Wasserman Schultz.
What?
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Right. The reason I'm calling is that I think a lot of the what you think of all the Democratic DNC chairmen since Howard Dean, who brought the party back in 2004, they won back Congress 2006, and they held on to the majority when Obama was elected. Then they dissed him 2008 when Obama came in, didn't give him anything. And all the next DNC chairmen, 2010, a redistricting year, they lost the House. 2000, and they held the Senate in 2010, 2012, but then they lost everything in 2014. And I want to get your opinion just on the fact that these DNC chairmen have been incompetent on off-year elections and helping the Democrats.
Well, it's very interesting. In presidential elections, Democrats come out. It's a well-known fact. In a way that they just don't come out in the off-year elections. Now, you can ascribe that to anything you want, to leadership in the party. But in fact, the president always gets to name, and the governor in New York always gets to name his state chairman. The president gets to name his national chairman. And that's sort of the way that it is. So it is not mine to say whether these are good choices, because frankly, I don't know enough to be able to tell you. I do know that it is clear that the Democratic Party was actively trying to help Hillary Clinton, and that there's an awful lot of resentment on the part of the Bernieites over that. And that's as much as I can say. I think she did the responsible thing. I think she got out because otherwise that was going to be a distraction. I thank you for your call. All right. And so that leaves us now. We'll go to Tim. And Tim and Gardner. Okay, number three. Okay, Tim, you're on. Hello.
Hello, but I'm not Tim Gardner.
Oh, who are
I'm
you?
Helen Engelhardt of Forest Lake, Lake Luzerne, New York.
Okay, go ahead, Helen. You're on.
All right, first of all, Alan, I've been listening to your program, your radio station, and various programs for years, and this is the first time I'm calling in.
Good.
Yes, and I listened to and then I watched the convention last night, and what impressed me, of course, were the three outstanding speeches, but also to hear about all the people who worked so hard, particularly the Bernie people, the young woman from Maine, on crafting changing the rules of the superdelegates going forward, on the work that was done on the platform. Becoming very progressive. Elijah Cummings was outstanding, very powerful, and Bernie himself. I was a little concerned about him, and the kind of honest and balanced statement that he made, and then powerful endorsement of Clinton because we have to win in November. The person who called in earlier and said there's no difference between the Trump winning and Clinton winning, that's what they said before Hitler won in Germany. What? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's totally unqualified on every possible level.
So what, let me ask you this, and it's very interesting. I'm glad you called, and we just have a minute or two here, but I wanted to ask you this.
Yes.
How come Trump is either leading or absolutely even in the polls, considering everything you're saying, and which I agree with, by the way. But how come?
I know you do.
But how come?
Well, we're not alone, apparently, in the world. Look what England just did. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of resentment. There's fertile ground for easy answers, big strongman solutions, and Trump, who the more we learn about him, the worse it gets. Is a man who is not just exploiting fear and hatred and resentment. He believes in this stuff himself, and he embodies everything that's worth.
But we don't know that he believes in it, right? Because he's changed his mind on so many of these issues so many times.
About his racist history.
Yes, I did, and it was very scary. But the point
did
I'm
you
saying.
Did you read about his palsy wowsy ties with Putin?
Yes, I did. Listen, my point is that when you say he believes in something, you and I don't really know that he believes in anything. We just know that this is
he believes in himself. He believes in his ego. He believes in power. He believes in cheating people so that he looks good. He believes, he believes in hatred.
Helen?
He believes in insults. That's what he believes in.
I hear you. Helen, thank you. We got to take a break, but I appreciate so much your calling, and I do think it's great. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. When we come back, which will be in a minute, I'm taking Tim's call, and I apologize to Tim in advance for messing things up.
WAMC comes from Stommel Stringed Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie, providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows, restorations, and appraisals. Open Tuesday through Saturday, stommelstring.com. Poughkeepsie Farm Project hosting the Summer Institute for Educators using school gardens to teach August 23rd through 25th. Farmproject.org for registration. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. Carrie Haddad Gallery, Hudson, presenting wall sculptures by Stephen Walling, figurative works by Marion Vino, abstractions by Vincent Pomelio, flowers by Anne Francie through August 28th. Reception Sunday 2 to 4, CarrieHaddadGallery.com. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscotch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com.
And we are back on the Vox Pop, your show. We really want to hear from you. The people are lining up, but we'll get to everybody. At least if you call now, we will. Now we're going to go to Tim. All right. Tim, I appreciate your calling, and I appreciate your patience. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate your talking about issues that matter, Dr. Shartok. Thank you so much. The reason I am calling is, first of all, you're absolutely correct. Completely historic election. For many reasons. And I think that what we have to look at, there has never been a candidacy like Bernie Sanders. You know, what he has done, what his people have done, what the movement has done to move this Democratic Party back towards being a Democratic Party. However, a month ago, I felt like I was in the wilderness. People were calling me a conspiracy theorist. Oh, the Democratic Party couldn't be promoting Hillary. So June 6th, I drove up to Albany, and I filed a federal lawsuit against Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC, requesting, or demanding, that this bias be revealed before the convention.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I thought you might have a question about that. I also,
no.
It's sort of interesting, because you withdraw $100 million from Hillary Clinton's campaign. She would not be doing nearly as well as she had. I mean, even all of the alleged voting, you know, election impropriety, let's set that aside. You just take $100 million out of her campaign, Bernie would have won the nomination months ago. And this is what the DNC, the Hillary Victory Fund alone, raised $61 million. Remember those $353,000 white plate deals that George Clooney had? That went to the Hillary Victory Fund, which allegedly was for down-ticket candidates. Well, Hillary kept 99% of that. This is the only way she was able to remain, you know, on an even playing field with Bernie and his $27 contributions, which I made 7 of. So I contributed $189. Over $100 million was contributed from the DNC to Hillary. That's what I sued for. I've sued for the revelation of the bias, an accounting of material and non-material contributions to Hillary Clinton's campaign, and restitution in that Bernie Sanders should be given an equal amount, or all of the Bernie Sanders contributors should be refunded the money that they gave, because we gave it under false pretenses. You know, the Democratic Party.
But wait, follow up on the thought. No, Tim, yes, follow up on the thought. We gave it under, it was under false pretenses. Could you tell us what those false pretenses were?
Sure. On the mission statement of the Democratic Party is that it's a fair play. Everyone gets an even break when everyone plays by the rules. And Article 5, Section 4 of the DNC bylaws state that the DNC chair and all officers must remain completely neutral and guarantee impartiality and neutrality in a Democratic nomination process, which they clearly did not do. So we gave our money thinking that this was truth, justice, and the American way, and you know, Senator Sanders was making a big difference, and it was an even and level playing field. And we now know through, you know, these emails that it was not.
Okay, Tim, there are 10 people waiting on the phone behind you. I think we get the gist of what you're saying. We thank you so much.
Well, there's one last thing I would like to say. Thank you so much, Alex.
Sure.
is that you can go to timhuntermusic.com if you'd like to see the lawsuit. However, Bernie is going into the tonight with 1,900, you know, delegates. Hillary has 2,200. This is a political party. If they look at this political calculus, these delegates and the superdelegates, and realize how much more electable Bernie Sanders is, I am very hopeful that there'll be a roll call. I'm hopeful there will be a vote. And I still, although very small chance, I hold out hope that Bernie Sanders will be our Democratic nominee for president.
But are you going to follow Bernie? I just have to ask a yes or no on this. Are you going to follow Bernie's advice and vote for Hillary in the national election, in the presidential election?
If it is Trump versus Hillary, I absolutely will.
Okay, that's
fair. But let's see what it looks like in November.
Okay, hey, Tim, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. All right, and I'm looking at the new way we do things around here, and we'll go to Ed on line number two. Is Ed. Okay, Ed, you're on.
Oh, hi, Alan. First thing I'd like to say is that this is not a swing state. The only state within the sound of your voice that might be a swing state would be Pennsylvania. So all the discussion about, oh, vote for Hillary because Trump might get in does not apply to most of us. Okay, I've been around a long time, almost as long as you, not quite. Every single election, oh, it's the most important election ever. We got to vote for the lesser evil.
Yeah.
Now, I would like to see Hillary release the speeches that she gave to Wall Street for the quarter million. When they come asking me to donate $35 or whatever, why can't she just give another speech to Wall Street and get another quarter mil just like that in less than an hour? Now, as far as, you know, whether we vote for Hillary or for, I'm voting for Jill Stein, it's a no-brainer, Jill Stein of the Green Party, because we're not a swing state. And my friends and whatnot, I can understand. I don't want to debate so much. But I also agree with Andrew earlier on that Trump is maybe not so much worse.
Hey, Ed, you know, wait. You know that... Ronald Reagan did carry New York. So when you say it's not a swing state, you know, what do you know?
Yeah, but the thing is he carried the whole country by a mile. Sure, they can carry New York sometimes, but when it's so close that your vote's going to make a difference, they've lost the rest of the country by a mile.
Okay,
anyway.
Ed, you got to do now is finish up. What do you got?
Okay, the other thing I want to point out is that the Senate Majority PAC, which is a Democratic fundraiser for the Senate that's supposed to be used to defeat Republicans, they have used that money in primaries. I'm specifically familiar with Alan Grayson in Florida, who's running for Senate in a primary against a guy named Pat Murphy, who's a former Republican that became a Democrat so that he could become a representative. They've donated $1 million just recently to defeat a conservative pseudo-Democrat in a fight against the very feisty progressive Alan Grayson. So people might want to put their energy into some of these down-ticket races and donate to those guys. And also there's Tim Canova running against Debbie Wasserman. She may be off being the chairperson, but she could still be in Congress and needs to be defeated. And third and lastly, support that lawsuit. Get your money back if you donated to Bernie.
Okay, Ed.
Just send them an email and you can be on the list.
Thanks, Ed. Bye-bye. Okay, so now we are looking, David. And that would be David on line number five. Okay. David, you're on. Okay, David, go.
Hi, Alan. How are you? I'm going to make it short.
Okay.
I think they asked Donald what was the difference between him and Hillary.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to make it say it on the radio.
Don't do that because otherwise I got to press the red button. I don't want to do that.
All politicians are going to beep you, but at least with me, it'll feel good.
Well, I don't know that because I didn't hear it, but if you say so, we'll say that you said
so. He has an art of saying things in 25 words or less.
Okay.
And it appeals to the people that can take that much attention span.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. And we're looking now. Oh, yeah, there's Judy at line number seven. Okay, Judy. All right. Judy, it's your turn.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I want to just talk very briefly, since I'm at the eye doctor's right now.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Getting eye drops in my eyes.
Is he doing it?
Instant
is the doctor,
runoff.
The doctor's doing it while you're talking to us?
Yes.
Wow.
Instant runoffs. Okay. Years ago, I read in the Valley Advocate in Massachusetts about instant runoffs. And what they do is protect everybody from the possibility that voting for a third party, which has been mentioned now a couple of times today, it would make the, a third party, voting for a third party candidate, not a threat. An instant runoff means you get to vote for two people. Your first choice, say, would be Jill Stein. Your second choice, say, would be Hillary Clinton. And this way, if Jill didn't get the majority of the votes in your state, and if this was federal, it'd be great, then your vote would automatically go to your second choice, which would be Hillary.
Now,
and
now
this
respectfully,
way, there is no threat.
Judy, respectfully, you know when that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, when hell freezes over.
Exactly.
But I would, I would love to see it happen.
Well, yeah, sure.
Because
I'd like to see
so
an air,
scary
I'd like sometimes. I'd like to see an airplane fly through a room. It ain't going to happen. Judy, get the drops. Get the drops. This guy is a.
They're in.
Is it a woman or male doctor?
It's a woman doctor.
Oh,
but it was
well,
a woman technician who did it.
No wonder they're being nice. Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Bye. Okay, and now we're going to go to Caroline in. Ooh, Caroline there. I'm looking. You got to look in two places. Sharon, Connecticut. All right. Caroline, you're on.
In Sharon, Connecticut.
That's you.
Alan, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I actually preferred Hillary in 08, but of course I voted for Obama. This time I was a Bernie person, but I knew from the beginning Bernie said, if I don't get it, I will support Hillary 1,000%. And I feel that my husband and my experience in 68 is something I'd like to mention. We were for Eugene McCarthy, and when Hubert Humphrey got it and he did not disavow the war policies of Lyndon Johnson, we were furious, and we said we would not vote for him. We'd write in somebody. And that was not true in November. And my husband said to me, and I agree 100%, 1,000%, think of the Supreme Court. At this point, the way our system is set up, if we don't vote for Hillary, we could get Trump, and that is unthinkable. And I think sometimes the people who say, well, the lesser of two evils is still evil, we've got to make informed choices and do what is the right thing for our country.
Well, I'm so glad you made this call. You know why? I agree with you. And that's rare around here, but I do really agree with you, and I thank you for making the call. Thanks so much. Okay, so now we have to look at this other thing on the front. So we've got a Dave. All right, Dave, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How you doing today?
Well, all right, but they got these two machines. You got to look at one, then you got to look at the other. It's very distracting. Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Recently, a couple days ago, the Huffington Post had an article by George Lakoff. I don't know if you saw this, called Understanding Trump. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Do you know George Lakoff and his work at all?
I wish I could say yes, but the answer is no.
Okay. All right. Well, he wrote a book years ago called Don't Think of an Elephant, and he's a linguist, and he looks at the narratives, the underlying narratives, and the subconscious metaphors that people use, and he has this whole analysis of how people who tend to vote Republican think versus people who tend to vote Democratic, and I just want to urge you and everybody else to find this article in the Huffington Post called Understanding Trump. It's very insightful, and it a lot of the discussion about why Trump is doing so well misses the point, according to him, and I think he's right about metaphors around fathering and the what I forget the terms he uses, but the nurturing father, nurturing family is the metaphor underlying the Democratic side, and the hierarchical controlling father is the metaphor for the conservative side. And Trump is totally playing that up and using that, and that is he's very much the fear plays into that.
Okay.
Whole metaphor. So I highly recommend people find the article "Understanding Trump" by George Lakoff.
Okay.
Lakoff.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate your call. And we heard on the internet from JD, who said, "I do enjoy your interviewing style. Thank you." We've been in an interview with a Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson. We asked, and we haven't heard back yet. I saw a house in Colony had signs up for him on their lawn. I had to look him up. I was surprised to learn he's got more political experience than Trump as a two-term governor of New Mexico. I just want you to know, J.D., we have asked, as we will. Okay, and now, going down the list, it looks like Scott is going to be next. All right, Scott, you are on. Okay, Scott, your turn.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Just a quick thing, this whole brouhaha with the leaked documents with the DNC. I wish the Democrats, I mean, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but I wish the Democrats would have a little more backbone, be kind of like the Republicans, because I have a feeling if it was reversed, the Republicans would have been like, oh, well, these documents say that we favored one candidate over the other. So they probably would have just said, yeah, we did it. So.
Okay. You make a point. Obviously, the followers of Trump have not been dissuaded for following him because of reversals in what he said or even outright falsehoods or the rest of it. They say, so, okay, so you make a point.
So the Democrats could learn a lesson and be a little bit more like the Republicans in that they have to have a little bit more of a backbone and say, yeah, you know what, so what? So we did it.
Well, but there is a counter argument that maybe it's better to be ethical than to be a liar, for example, or to reverse yourself.
If you want ethical, then you vote for Hillary. If you want unethical, then I think you vote for Trump.
Okay.
You know, the guy is, you know.
Okay.
But thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye. All right. So now, looking down that same famous list that we were talking about. Oh, yeah. We've got a Richard on line number 9. Okay, Richard, you're on.
My question is on electoral vote. I'm a little confused at my age that does it ever come out that we vote by popular vote, or is it by the electoral vote?
And the other not electoral. It's electoral. It's the electoral vote in the Electoral College. Each state votes for electors. You don't vote directly for president. You vote for electors who are selected by the political party, right? And those electors then cast their ballots. But, of course, there is a tremendous movement against the Electoral College in this country. Nevertheless, that's what we got. That's what the Constitution is. And that's what we're going to continue to have until somebody changes it. And that's unlikely to happen.
Okay, but where I'm confused, all my life I always thought with more with popular vote.
No, that's not true.
Right across the board. And that's not true. And that's surprising
correct.
In my age.
How old
are
you?
And the last thing, 77.
Ah, you're a kid.
And I'm just coming out of woodwork here, just trying to understand the process right now.
Fair enough.
But my last question is, like the Green Party, now that would take an awful lot of work to get the Green Party to be selected by that system.
That's correct, because the Green Party, because we have a country that believes basically in a two-party system. But the Green Party is on the ballot, I believe, in every state in the union.
Yeah.
So I
thank you very much for updating on that.
Okay.
And it's such a fundamental question, but I appreciate you answering in the way you did.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Okay. And now we're going to look right now for the next line. Oh, number 8. Okay. Miranda, you're on.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm all right. I got this system here. It's hard to do. I'm old and
I
got to look to the left. I got to look to the right. Yeah,
I'm calling as a 19-year-old first big election girl. And I just want to tell you, I've been a huge Bernie supporter since the beginning because that's just the way my generation rolls. He stands for everything we want for our future and for our future generations.
Okay.
And the fact that he has endorsed Hillary Clinton, I understand he wants to say, you know, no to Trump. We have to be unified against Trump. But Hillary Clinton represents everything that he is not. everything that he has stood against. And she is just a flip-flopper on political issues. She is just a person who wants to be president. And because it wasn't her turn when her husband was president, I believe that she is a woman who didn't deserve the position of Secretary of State, carpetbagged. I'm born and raised in Long Island, so I, you know, I understand where she was as a New Yorker. And
she,
I think
and was very popular.
She was very popular.
Yeah.
You know,
she was very popular. That's
I,
what
I
democracy,
know she's popular.
That's what democracy is all about.
I know, but I don't get how, honestly, I don't understand how she is so popular when it has been shown that before it was popular for gay marriage and equality to be prominent in the United States, that before that, she wasn't, until it was a public opinion that that was in the public's best interest.
Isn't that democracy also? In other words, when Kirsten Gillibrand was appointed by Patterson to be the U.S. senator before she ran on her own, and she had been did the exact same flip-flop on so many of those issues, and I think it was Schumer, it may have been D'Amato, and they said, how could she go from one to the other when she's going to have to change, obviously? And they said, she'll evolve. Well, what's wrong with people evolving, with changing their minds?
I just want to say there's nothing wrong with people evolving when it's genuine, and I don't believe it's genuine.
Okay.
I believe, especially with this whole email political scandals and everything, I'm in Massachusetts right now. I go to university here. I work 5 jobs. I'm just a person who wants to be informed. And when I went and voted in the primaries, Bill Clinton held up a line in one of the, you know, flip-flop areas, I believe it was in Springfield, and he held up a line causing people to have to wait 4 hours to vote, and nothing was done because apparently there are laws that apply to regular citizens and there are laws that apply to the Clintons. I just don't believe that's fair.
Okay,
and
Miranda, let me say it's 12:40. I got to take a break. That's the rules, and when you don't follow the rules around here, they fire you. So I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate your call, and I really do. Thanks again. All right, take it away.
Support for WAMC comes from Nine Pin Cider Works, hard cider made from locally sourced apples. Tasting room Wednesday through Sunday at 929 Broadway, Albany. Be revolutionary. Consider the apple. Drink New York apples. NinePinCider.com. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the Capital Region and beyond. Marketing creative and business ideas since 1996, imediaconsult.com. Kentix Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations. Serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years, kentixconstruction.com. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts, member SIPC. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae. Fulton County Tourism in the Southern Adirondack Park, 44 lakes, 44 choices, hiking, fishing, boating, camping, and more. Summer calendar at 44lakes.com. And the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies, and performance. newpaltz.edu/theatre.
Okay, we're rounding the corner here. We only have, 14 or minutes, so I want everybody to be as brief as they can, okay? Be as brief as you can. Don't filibuster if you don't have to, and if you do have to, don't do it anyway. Okay, so here we go. Let's go to Emily in Marlboro. Okay, Emily in Marlboro, you're on.
Hi. I was just having a quick question. I noticed that a lot of people don't like Trump, and I mean, it's not that they don't like him, but they really, really don't like him. And there's a lot of people that don't like Hillary. They really, really find her objectionable in certain ways. And I was wondering your opinion on why you think someone else, more inspiring, that people really could get behind and really like, as opposed to these two being the lesser of two evils. I was wondering why you think that no one better steps forward.
Well, it's an interesting question, but it is supposedly a democratic process. Now, several people have made the point that during this thing, what we had was a whole bunch of people who contributed money. Some of these people, like Hillary, took an awful lot of money from people. Bernie took $27 a person. Trump has a great deal of money himself, and he leveraged it. But Trump has been fairly outrageous in his rhetoric, and he's used his TV sort of knowledge to push himself forward. And people voted for him, and the entire Republican establishment was for the other people. They weren't for him, that's for sure. And yet he won anyway. That's what you got to put up with when you're dealing with a democracy, right?
Well, yes, that's what we have to put up with, but it's very interesting to me that no one, like, for example, I watch a lot of TED Talks, and there are some people on TED who, you know, really inspiring. They're out there doing these things.
Yeah, but they didn't run. First you got to run.
They didn't run.
And then you got to then you got to raise the money, right? You got to run, you got to raise the money, and then you got to win. He did.
Right.
The rules. Okay, thanks so much for calling. I really appreciate it. All right. 1-800-348-2551. Although the chances of getting in at this stage of the game are not that good. And we'll go to Keith. I believe Keith. No, we'll go to Robert. And that's on line number two. Robert, the reason we're going to you is because you've been hanging on the longest. And thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say that during this election, I noticed that Donald Trump, he kind of promises anything to people and tells them whatever they want to hear. You know, he's going to build a wall. He's going to give everybody better health care than Obamacare. He's going to deport all the illegal people, which are pretty much all impossible. And I also noticed that Bernie Sanders promised a lot too, like free college and health care. Mm-hmm. But those are big things that seem to get people very excited. What I noticed about Hillary Clinton, that she don't have no big thing what she's offering, and I think she needs to have one.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, that takes care of that. And now we will go to Keith, and that is 1, 2, 3, 4. Line number 5 is Keith. Okay, Keith, you're on.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
Quick question for you. It's actually a question for you. If Trump becomes president, does he have the executive authority to tell everybody at the EPA to turn off their computers and play gin rummy for the next 4 years? I know we can't just shut it down, but can he do that?
Well, it's his agency. It's his agency. If he might not tell them to play gin rummy for 4 years, but he certainly has the power to instruct them on what they should be doing and not. And we're pretty sure, by the way, that he's not a fan. Hello?
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Okay, thank you very much. All right, and that takes care of that. And now we're going to go to 1, 2, 3, 4, Bob. And Bob is right here on line number 6. Okay, Bob, you're on.
Hi, Bob. Alan.
Hey.
Listen, I look at Trump's brand of politics as a barroom politician. You know, when a group of friends are in a bar and they're trying to solve the problems of the world, they're unencumbered by facts. They can say whatever they want. They go home at the end of the night and they feel like they solved the problems of the world. We're going to build a wall. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to end these trade agreements. And you go home and you feel like you really solved the problems of the world, but you really didn't. And that's how I look at Trump. That's how I see his brand of politics.
Well, yeah. However, it may be a brilliant brand of politics if the end of the game, right, is to win the election. And if enough people go along with it, you know, then you win.
You mean fall for it.
I stand corrected. I mean, fall for it. Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right. And now, oh boy, we'll go to Phil. All right, Phil, you're on.
Phil. Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Something that Rosemary said this morning really kind of bothered me. She said that if Bernie had gotten out of the race a couple months ago,
right,
the party would be much more unified.
Yes.
And I totally disagree. Look at how much that platform has changed in the last 2 months in order to get Bernie to quiet down how many of his ideas are on that platform.
No, you're absolutely right. No, you're right.
My only fear is that when she's elected, and if she's elected, that platform's going to go out the window, and all these things that she promised the Bernie people just to get their vote is going to go away.
Well, let me just say that the platform often turns into borscht after the that's a Russian soup after the after the nomination after the presidency commences. So there was a great deal about that that has been written about platforms and by political scientists and what they mean. Nevertheless, it's what Bernie wanted, and he hung in there so he would get what he wanted, and he got it. Thank you very much.
That's all I got. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. All right. And now we're going to go to Paul. All right. Paul, you're on. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Ellen. I just wanted to comment. I've just been with Bernie the whole time, and I knew going into this that I would never be able to support Hillary. Simply that I don't ever vote for anyone who voted to authorize the Iraq invasion. I understand lesser evils, and I could be on board with that. But I can't vote for her. And Trump is just, of course, a megalomaniac. I want to make the comment that I think it is perfectly acceptable for people to, in a thoughtful, conscious way, when they go to vote on November 8th, to simply skip the presidential selection at the top of the ballot and vote down ballot. If we don't want to vote for
what state are you in? What state are you in?
And I would do this even if I didn't live in Massachusetts, even if I lived in a swing state. I don't think I could vote for anyone who voted. I mean, the Iraq invasion was an open and revealed disaster.
Well, first of all, I agree with you. Second of all, I voted for Bernie in the primary, but I certainly don't agree with you when it comes to the differences, that there are not differences between Trump and Hillary. And of course,
I'm not saying that. There are major differences. So, I clearly understand that Madam Secretary is the lesser evil. That doesn't mean we have to vote in that way. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so, okay, fair enough. You've said it. I gave you my counter view. I'm talking about the Supreme Court and the rest of it. I think you couldn't be wronger. You think you couldn't be righter. That's what this program's all about, and I'm glad you called. Thank you.
It's not right or wrong. It's just a matter of, like, what we can do.
No, there's right or wrong. You see four conservatives on the United States Supreme Court. You're going to know what wrong is.
I know what wrong is. I get it. We just don't have to vote against our conscience if we don't want. You know, we just don't have to do that.
I gotcha. Thank you.
Don't have to.
Thanks a lot. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Joel on line number 7. Welcome back, Joel. What do you got?
Alan, hi.
Hey.
You know who I am.
Of course I do.
This will be short.
Good.
I was a backer of Bernie right from the beginning. I'm 84 years old, but I was among the young people that was backing Bernie. And I understand how they all feel. But I'll tell you, Sarah Silverman summed it up beautifully last night when she said, "Don't be ridiculous."
Well, I thought she was the highlight of the evening, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Michelle was wonderful, but I'll tell you, Sarah, she really kicked it off with that. It was an ad lib.
No, she's right. She was getting a hard time from them, and then she turned around and told the truth.
It was an ad lib.
You know what?
What's-his-name wasn't ready to come out yet.
You know what, Joel? Leave it to a stand-up comedian to be able to answer, you know, the guys in the audience who are yelling at her. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate your call. All right. And now we're going to go to, yes, we're going to go to Mary in Delmar. All right, Mary in Delmar, you're on.
I just think that people should remember 2000 when people voted for Nader and because they couldn't stomach voting for Gore or Bush. And so we got Bush and a war and a massive crash in the economy. And that was because people said, I have to vote my conscience. I'm not going to vote for Gore. I'm going to vote for Nader. And I think that I remember what it was like in 68 when I was working for Jean McCarthy. And I thought I knew everything, and I wasn't going to vote for Mondor, and we got Nixon. And I think that Sarah was right. People need to grow up and stop being ridiculous and realize that the lesser of two evils is still less evil.
Well, that's very interesting. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. All right, we'll go to Elisa on line number 9. Elisa, you're on.
Hello. Actually, I love the comments of the woman right before me.
Okay.
She was fantastic. But my question is this. Why isn't anyone talking about the tax breaks that Donald Trump gets for all of his development projects in New York City? New York City is governed by developers. And why isn't anybody asking him about eminent domain? Why isn't, or has, if he's used it? Why is anyone talking about the tax breaks that he receives that the middle class pays for his development project?
Well, nobody is now different from you because you did it. And I thank you so much for making that point. I'm trying to get everybody in. Thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Charles on line number 4. Okay, Charles, you're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hey, make it fast.
I'm a 60-year-old blue-collar worker with no union protection or anything. And it is amazing. It is terrible, the choices we have. We have a nut on the Republican side and somebody who'll do nothing on the Democratic side. Now, I'm very frustrated. In the 70s, when I was a young man, the financial institutions of this country could not do what they've done in the last few years.
Right.
All right. It was made illegal.
That's
all right.
True.
Now, to these people who are running the country, this system is not broken. It is perfect. And it just keeps getting better every day. I guess you can hear I'm a little bit angry.
Yeah. I hear it.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
That's it. That's all.
Okay. That's good. We can take one more call, I think, and that is going to depend. Yeah, there it is on Jose on line number 2. Line number 2, Jose, you're on.
How you doing? I'll be real quick. About over a year ago, we agreed that it was going to be Hillary and Bush, and look where we're at. My question is to ask, why are people still considering Trump, even though his views are totally inconceivable and unlikely? You know, numbers have shown that it's the uneducated people that are looking for him.
He said, I love the uneducated. Remember that?
Excuse me?
He said, I love the uneducated, Trump.
Right, and I can't believe it. So, you know, and then why? How is it happening? Well, they're easily influenced. If that's a fact, they're easily influenced. And I also believe because some people on Democrats and Republicans, if they pick a side, they're always going to have their candidate no matter what. So I think in part it's a refuse to lose Republican attitude, and also in part a backlash because they have a black guy. They realize, wow, the black guy got in. And in part, really, a little bit of racism. And again, you know, look at the...
Wait. But the black guy, Barack Obama, has phenomenal ratings right now. You know that, right? I mean, he is at the top of the polls.
Not in that group, the uneducated...
No, well, yes, that's right. And that's a very interesting point you're making because... And it's a good point. Because I think that Trump has aimed at a specific demographic in this country and is winning them over, we're talking about.
He's winning them over. And that's the real reason. Because if you look at reality, even the Republicans are really nice people. They're neighbors of mine. But how could it possible for a guy like this... They're easily influenced, and they believe his misleading statements. Just like when Bush said the misleading statements about the wars, and he got us into a war. That's what happens sometimes when you target that group. But if he wants to win, he's doing the right thing. But I think the Democrats will come out in numbers, and that's just impossible for them to happen. I think we will win.
I thank you for the call. We're out of time. Thank you so much for calling in. As I just said, we are just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in and apologize. I really apologize to those who left on the line. And just to give you an idea who they were Kirsten, and they were David, and they were Jean, and Luca, and Dawn and John. Those are the people left on the line. So we had a lot of people left. I do apologize to all of you who didn't get your chance. Maybe the next time. Okay, so remember the conversation continues online at WMC.org/VoxPop. Engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by, it's not only Zach, but he had lots of help by Zaina Reifenheiser. And I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.